Welcome to Winning Mood, short, sharp, stronger super coach and punting advice for the NRL week ahead. I'm Jacob Wynn from the Tripod. He's Tim Moody, the 2021 super coach champion, killing it in 2022 as well. We're here every week just for under 20 minutes, share as much knowledge as we can with each other and our audience. We appreciate it. Send us in some comments and questions if you've got any, guys. And my first question, Tim, is how did you go last week and where are you in the overall standings?
Yeah, look, it was pretty much a nightmare last week. Every mistake you could make, I pretty much did it. Look, it was dreadful. No excuses. I just sort of, I trusted too much in, just things will go right. And I feel I left too many stones left unturned. There was, four power plays in that first game. I don't like playing too many plays in a Thursday night game or to captain anyone in a Thursday night game. So that sort of started my week off bad. The real problem, I guess, is not even the real problem, but a more important issue was the fact that I kept my reserve on Manu, who wasn't playing. So that made me cop an auto emergency. The real issue of the weekend and possibly the season is that I passed on Teddy this last week. He scored a whopping, 150-ish, and nearly every man and his dog had their captain or vice captain on him and was getting double points from him, and I didn't have him at all. So, I guess the reasoning for all of that is I was originally going to bring him in, and that was my first trade. Pappenhausen's down. Most common person to get into my side would be Tedesco, considering I've already got Luttrell. But I sort of got a little bit too smart for myself, and I was like, oh, I really like this Cowboys draw. The next three games are really nice. And I was like, if I can just bring Drinkwater in now at 5-8, play Dylan Brown, which probably will go okay for one more round, was my thinking. And then I can move Drinkwater up next week, now that Power are playing the Panthers. So I thought, I'll get one more week out of Dylan Brown. Just so that I could take my time and play the pieces, a bit slower. But look, in hindsight, the Knights and the Roosters game, that's a pretty easy game. And to just sort of fade that all together and not only to not own him, but to not have to not VC'd him and not captained him is three big whoppers. But and to add up the fact that I left my reserve on Manu. And there was all sorts of issues. Like, it was like the side was just depleted. I had to cop an AE of 15. So, I was like 41 in the top 41% for the round, which is pretty dreadful because I'd imagine that maybe, 30% aren't still playing and it just sort of goes side. So, pretty awkward round. But, it was pretty down. Felt like the season was over. I lost about 250 to 300 points on the average side. And that's a big loss at this time of the year. It dropped me not as far as I thought. I was been trying to avoid my ranking, my score, and looking at Supercoach up until today because I figured I'm going to have to talk about certain things. I could avoid it on the other podcast, but I'm the only one that's, the expert here. You're the person that's the expert on the tipping, so I can't just sit back and be sad. I've got to give some good information out. So, look, I think that the most important information people need to consider is, look, last week I said, do not go a pod for the sake of going a pod. Go the person you think is going to score the biggest. And I probably thought that was going to be Tedesco. But I got too much goggles on the idea that last game of the round was the only game I could see that was going to be dry. All the other games weren't that wet. And I didn't really adjust throughout the round and just sort of trusted in that last game, and it really hurt me. So, I feel like I didn't trust my guts. I had a sick feeling all round. So, trust your gut, and you don't need to pot up because I didn't intentionally pot up for the sake of potting up. I actually thought this draw with the Tigers having their coach and also Tim Sheen's out and some who was the bloke that filled in? I've got no idea who he was. Disrespect to him.
Yeah,
no disrespect to the fella, but he did a pretty good job to basically, in my opinion, get them a win. So good on him. But yeah, I identified that as too many ticks for, yeah, this is good for my captain. You know, the Tigers are weak. They've got no leadership. It's dry. And yeah, I feel like I just had goggles on that and I didn't really address everything else that could have hurt me. And I just sort of, he's like, yeah, every time I thought about it, he was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get him next week. I'm getting him next week. He only scored 90 last week, but that 150, if you're not on him and, you know, and you captain a guy that gets, I captained a guy in my side that scored the lowest. So that's how bad my weekend went. So
as you say that, I'll bring up your team. But, mate, don't be too hard on yourself because you haven't told us what rank you are. Can you just tell us?
It's not as bad as I thought. I thought I was going to be well out of the top 100 and maybe into the 200-300s. I'm only 54th. But the reality is...
Yeah, like the thing is, if you're trying to win, which you are, which like, you know, of course you want to win, the margin for error is almost non-existent. You have to be exceptional every week. And I've been amazed that every week I ask you how you did and you did better and better and you're climbing. And the higher, we keep saying, the higher you get to the pointy end, the harder it is to climb. And you've had a shocker of a week by your own standards. And you're dropping back to 54th. Like, of course, it is disappointing. But at the end of the day as well, this is what it all comes down to. Like, and I know as well as anybody from the tipping, like, we can't predict how these games are going to go. And we spoke on this show a week ago about how right at the minute you had been riding some key position players from Parramatta. And look, Parramatta went into the game against Brisbane 4.5-point favourites. You know, Parramatta was supposed to beat Brisbane by 4 to 6 points. And then the Roosters were supposed to beat Knights by market expectation by 7 to 8 points because that line closed 7.5, right? Or sorry, 9.5. So 9 to 10 points. So
yeah, you're talking about the Roosters. I think I gave a bit too much respect for that Knights side. It just looked good on paper to me.
Sure, but Ponga went down. But, you know, but you didn't know Ponga was going to get knocked out first few minutes as well. So you know, if we go into the weekend and we think, oh, the Roosters on, you know, by market expectation are meant to beat the Knights by about 6 points more than the Eels will win by. And in the end, the Roosters win by 40 and the Eels lose by 20, then those drastically different results to, you know, what is really predictable. And then to say that the Cowboys barely even won and as we can both agree, probably shouldn't have won, but they were 20-point favourites going to that game. And we didn't talk about this live, but we did have a chat afterwards about, and I was supportive saying, yeah, like I think the Cowboys do look like they're really going to build up steam this final stretch run. And I definitely thought someone like Drinkwater would be a good pickup. And then when I was watching that game, I couldn't help but notice that, yeah, he just wasn't his night. Right. The Tigers were really up for it. At one point, they even benched him because he had a cramp or something and he couldn't move around. He wasn't having the best game. And I was thinking, hopefully, Tim didn't actually pick him up. The one question I got for you, then we've got to just turn our attention forward because, look, it's fair enough. We're riding this journey with you and that is a tough moment and, you know, it's hard to recover from weekends like that to win it all, but you just got to have some perspective of where you're at. But so not putting Manu in your reserves, like, that's just a brain fade? Like, that's just...
Yeah, look, that's, look what it is...
News came out the day before.
Okay, so I get a little bit cheeky with my side for my head-to-head matchup, so... When people are trying to beat me in my head-to-heads, because I play overall. So my only way I can try and get a bit cheeky with my head-to-heads that I'm invested in cash leagues is to sort of not show the actual team I'm going to play for the round so they sort of can't adjust their side to find a way to beat me. And that hurt me. And I usually make these mistakes twice a year. I did it earlier in the year. I don't know if you remember, I slept in one of the games. And left.
Yeah, and it was like an Easter game and it was like on early. So you deliberately leave it till late, which is playing slight games with people. At the end of the day, it might, like, you know, nobody knows how the players are going to go. So it's not like a massive disadvantage for people to just see what your team is. But I get it, you don't want to necessarily show your hand. But by leaving a small window, you're just saying if something pops up, like you're opening yourself up to the risk that it slips your mind or you get distracted and you miss that window. And that's, you know, that's a mistake that you've paid a little
the
price for.
The reason I missed it was because I didn't have any active players that were playing in that game. So I didn't have any Knights players playing, any Roosters players playing. So I was my mentality was like, oh, yeah, sweet, I'm good. No players in this game. Sit just back and relax. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't till, you know, Wilfred Z from the Champions of 2016 winner was the first person to message me. And then I had about a flood of about up to 50 until I turned off social media. It's still off. I just don't want to know.
50 people messaging you, telling you that you've reserved a player that wasn't playing.
Post. I'm like, I can't say thank you.
It sounds like the people that message me when a tip loses. It's like, you think I don't know that?
Yeah, it was terrible. Thank you all for the bad news.
Okay, mate. We're halfway point in this pod. Why don't we look ahead? Round 20. Let's put up squad game and play red light, green light. What do you got? Drop some wisdom bombs on us.
So I'm going to do a special red light, green light. It's coming into the back end of the year. So people are limited on trades. They're trying to work out their final team. Am I going to go this guy, that guy? Will I strengthen this position, that position? So here's what we're going to do. Green light number one, get Tedesco. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to have to downgrade someone else in a trade that I hate to make just to get Tedesco because I can't do it in one trade. I'm short 40,000 by doing that. So other than that, what I'm going to say for the green lights is positional. Okay, so Harry Grant's been out of form, but he's the best in the business. The Storm have been out of form. I don't think he's going to keep scoring poorly. I think the Storm will fix up the game. He's the guy you want. And the other guy you want in that position, if you're going to go big, is Cook. Otherwise, go with whoever you've got in your second hooker and don't change it. Props, Tarpany, if you've got him, IPAP, if you've got him, Lolo, if you've got him, keep that there. There's probably other names there. Max King, keep that there if you've got them. Would I bring in Tarpany? A lot of people have been asking me. I would do that if you are very weak in your prop and you do need to bring in a prop, not so much a second row, because you can cover that in other second rowers. You know what I mean? His top price for, you know, his max score will probably only ever be about a 90, 95. If he scores a try, he might, you know, surprise us and get a, you know, 100 plus. But, yeah, those are the names I'd say. But more importantly for green lights, we need to focus on halfbacks, 5'8s, and fullbacks. You need to be making sure you got, in your opinion, what those best two are. My opinion on the best two in each of these positions are Nathan Cleary is your number one for halfback. Nico Hines is your number two for fullback. And I think you can have him in halfback. You can have him in fullback, but the preferred position, I think, is to have him in the halfback slot because it gives you two options in the fullback there. The second option for me in the halfback would be DCE. Fourth would be Jerome Hughes. So if you've got one of those guys, I wouldn't be panicking if I've got the third or fourth. I'd roll with it. I wouldn't be trading it out unless it's Nathan Cleary. If you don't have Nathan Cleary, get him in. Secondly, let's go to the 5'8s. Munster, number one. Secondly, I'm going to go with Drinkwater. He's only got like two more great games that I think. Last game, he didn't really take advantage of it. I hope he can bounce back for me. But considering he's had not been scoring greatly, I'd say that the genuine number two in that position is probably Dylan Brown or Cody Walker. It's hard to pick. I'd probably say Dylan Brown because he's got the base. He wasn't that great last week and got 60. Cody Walker got a poor 15 last week, so I'd probably go the Dylan Brown route there, but I wouldn't be mixing it up too much. Just make sure you got Munster. And now down to the fullback position. Number one alive super coach fullback that's not out and injured would be Tedesco. You need Tedesco. If you don't have Luttrell, you probably don't have to get Luttrell. If you've got a really good second fullback, like it is Nico Hines, and maybe you're running DCE up as your halfback, don't panic. Leave that combo. You're good to go. But yeah, if you don't have a second good fullback and you do have only Luttrell and do only have Teddy, I'd try to get both of them. If you don't, that's only if your second fullback is like a weird one, like maybe a Garrick that you could move to your centre wing, you know, sell one of your centre wingers and then make sure you strengthen up on that fullback position. That's my thoughts. Red lights, sell to your weakest guys, and they're pretty obvious at this stage of your season. I wouldn't be worried as well about price and BEs because that affected me a little bit too much last week. And, yeah, just get the best guys in and do it ASAP.
Well, last week you did say it was a crossroads. Anyone that had Pappenhausen had to come up with a solution. You went drink water, which wasn't the most common choice, but and you said you didn't deliberately pod, as they say, but it, you know, it could have been a masterstroke. Obviously, it didn't work out, but you still think he's got good prospects for the final 6 weeks of the season. And we like the Cowboys again this weekend. They do play at St. George, pretty winnable game, and a game they could win by a decent margin. But I'm just curious, across other shows you've been on, what did other people do? Was Tedesco the most popular replacement for Pappy? And so everyone who got him's laughing, but did anyone else go any other direction? I mean, people would be even worse off if they went Ponga or something like that.
I don't feel like many people I know or come across have done. They would have been. I've tried to avoid the Supercoach scores and not try to look at too many others. It just haunts me just seeing all these other 13, 14s, high 1200s when I was a 1,000. So I'm just trying to get last week out. I've been a very hard critic of myself, so I've given myself a hard time. And now it's like, all right, now it's new. It's a new week. You get over the poor weeks. We have poor weeks and they do hurt, but it's always about let's move on. And, you know, some people don't coaches seriously and, you know, get upset as much. But if you're getting invested into it and you're listening to a lot of podcasts and stuff, obviously, you know, you're going to be someone like myself who does care about how you go.
Oh, no doubt we can see how much you can. I mean, the thing is, and that's what it says before, like you're setting the bar so high. Like even me as a punter, like I want to be exceptional. We're putting ourselves out there and putting out the tips and we want it to justify the work that goes in. But, you know, how many people win money punting? It's probably something like 1% to 2%. So, you know, I really want us to be able to do that every season. So I want to be among the top 1% or 2% of punters. I can't possibly be the best in Australia every year because there's thousands of other people are doing it. So I'm trying to be in the top 1% like that. And that's hard, but you're in the top 100 out of over 100,000. You're in the top 0.1% and you're getting disappointed when you're dropping back from 20th to 50th. So I guess you've got to have that perspective. Now, speaking of punting, another winner last week, which means we're in profit, giving out our 2 of 3 anytime try scorers. 2 of 3 ain't bad at all, and that was after we didn't win the first leg. We won the remaining two, and that was $2.60 last week. Jeremiah Nano bringing us home, getting a double, AJ. And Johnston had a double as well, so that was pretty good. Look, the tip we gave out on the Wednesday night had Joey Manu. Manu got scratched, so then we updated it and had to replace Manu. I know some people get disappointed because it went on to win. But if a player is scratched before the round, as can happen in any round, unfortunately, the bet is going to be void. And then we are scrambling and we put in a lot of time beforehand to create the bet. And then we, of course, put in more time afterwards. And you talk about getting messages and 50 messages, people letting, what are you going to
do? You'd want it cancelled. You'd want it cancelled. If you've only got 2 out of your 3, when we're getting a price for 2 out of 3, you'd be better off to
It is in the punter's favour. And if you put a same game multi up, if you put a like a horse, same game multi, whatever it is, if someone's scratched, you get your money back. If the other leg's gone to win, you can't really say, oh, well, I should still win, because if the other legs didn't win, of course, you wouldn't accept it being a loss. We better race through, but Timmy, I'll put it up on the screen and you can unveil our win for this week. But as I said, tally up all the odds. We're in profit this season, let's keep it rolling.
This is why you are in the top 1%. He's faded my suggestions this week. You could tell I was off last week. And he's gone, ooh, he has taken up one of my selections. He's gone with Jack Whiten. I just feel that Jack Whiten's a big-time player. The Raiders are going well. They've got a bit of a storm to the final. I feel they're Smokies. And I feel like at some time he will cross when they're in the 20. He'll find that opportunity. You've gone with Stags and Tuolungi. And I didn't select those, but on reflection, I've gone back and looked over it and I've gone, they are players that I liked. I was just trying to look for juicier odds. So I'm really happy about Stags in this matchup. And also Tuolungi. I was going to go with I'll double down on our boy last week.
No, again. A double. But his odds came in shorter. Yeah, and that's the only reason I didn't. And I did overrule you a little bit. I mean, we really like Brisbane and Cowboys for best bets. You kind of were leaning to some Storm and Panther players, but we've gone New Zealand and Parramatta. So I can't sit here and, you know, support a bet that might kind of contrast or contradict to what we're sharing on the previous tripod, which is, you know, trying to pick the best NRL side. So I try and use what we like and overlap with what you like. It's worked out pretty well so far this season. So jump on that. Use the code TRIPOD if you do want a Toppy account. Taolungi, speaking of him, that's the Cowboys-Dragons game. And if you want to comment, if you live in Australia and New Zealand, because we did have someone from Canada one, which is really cool that people follow from around the world. But for future, the jersey winner, we got to organise it for someone that lives in Australia and New Zealand. Comment the final try scorer in Cows-Dragons and the minute you reckon they'll score. Sorry, we went over 20 minutes, guys, but good luck for the weekend in your Supercoach and your punting. We hope, do it responsibly as always. We hope that we put you in a winning mood.